I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is this in reference to another marriage for me, Paul?
No. It's just the way it works.
Just timed out totally like that? Random. Freddie Mercury singing about my second marriage. Papa Carp tweets in, Ben, and says, I've seen you. I've seen your wife, Woods. Go to Bocce Bus. Fair enough.
It's Ben and Woods. We'll come up with our spotlight interview of the week. Dave Softy Mahler wrote yesterday's spotlight. Tomorrow's interview of the week should be a good one because we talked to Fernando Tatis Jr. on Tuesday. That'll be a lot of fun. We have actually a pretty special interview tomorrow as well.
Tomorrow's going to rule.
We'll save that tease for a little bit
later.
It's
going to rule.
Today's good, too. Brett Boone is going to join us at 8:35. Got a lot of baseball talk between now and then as well. But right now, Dave Softy Mahler coming up after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danick. My friend Dave Softy Mahler, afternoon host at 950 KJR in Seattle with us here on Ben and Woods. Good morning.
Softy doesn't do damage control.
No. The
Softy can.
Like, no, I know.
The
manager and the.
He creates damage. That's why we love Softy. Good morning.
At least somebody loves having me on this show. You know what I love about this show? When I'm done. That's what I love. How long do you need me for?
What is this, open mic night?
I got a head, I got a wall I got to bash my head into here.
Well, listen, I was saying earlier when we knew you were coming on.
No rim shot.
I said, hey, listen.
Fine.
I said, Softy doesn't often have many nice things to say about the Mariners, you know, when they're just playing poorly.
Yeah.
When this came out, just tell me, walk me through what happened when all this started.
Well, I mean, first of all, what would you say nice about them?
Nothing.
Right?
Nothing.
I mean, they've been playing baseball for 45 years. They've made the playoffs four times. They've never been past Game 6 of the ALCS. They're the only team in baseball to have never played in a World Series.
They share a spring training complex with one of the most exciting teams
in
baseball.
That's true. Yeah.
They don't even have their own spring training facility. They have to share it with the Padres. You know, they just keep dropping moron bomb after moron bomb every single year or every other year on average. Every time an owner or a president or anybody of that ilk talks, they put their foot in their mouth, both feet in their mouth, and their fists. I mean, there's a reason why the Mariners did not like Howard Lincoln or Chuck Armstrong to talk to the public, because every time they did, they'd say something stupid. You know, I mean, Howard Lincoln would constantly refer to making money over winning games, how he always thought the stadium, back then it was Safeco, now it's T-Mobile Park, would be enough to draw fans. The lack of passion, the lack of concern for winning has always been a problem with the fan base, and they have zero credibility with the fans and with the media in Seattle. And it's too bad, because I believe this can be a really good baseball town. You know, I think when this team wins, the fans come out in droves, and I know a lot of people will say, well, duh, you know, when most teams win, the fans support them. That's not the case. I mean, look at a place like Tampa Bay, right?
Yep.
They win games and nobody gives a damn. So it's really, really frustrating for me, because I think that the fan base is ready to pounce on this team. The more they win, the more money they'll make, the more money the fans will spend. I mean, 2001 was obviously 20 years ago, but that place was like a freaking printing press. I mean, you show up and the fans just shove money down your throat. So it really has been, over the top, excruciatingly painful to watch this thing develop in the last couple weeks. And we actually did a President's Day show last Monday with Todd Lewicki of the Kraken, Garth Lagerwey of the Sounders, Chuck Arnold of the Seahawks. All the presidents were on. And Mather did our show, and you know, little did we know that was the last interview he would ever do on radio in Seattle, because the guy got, you know, basically fired a week and a half later for being what I think most people would just describe as an idiot.
The cleverness of having all the team presidents on for President's Day, though, that's gold star stuff. And I love that.
Great idea.
I love that.
I've been talking about wanting to do that for years and finally got off my ass and got it scheduled. So we wanted to do like everybody, like the Storm president, the UW president, the Wazoo president, but we only had an hour and a half show, so it didn't fit.
All right, I'll say something nice about the Mariners. I like Scott Service. Scott Service.
What has he done?
As a guy, I just kind of like him.
What's he done? He's done nothing. He's a nice guy. You know what? You're a nice guy. Do I want you managing the baseball
team? I've done nothing
team?
Also, so that's fair. How bad of a position, though, is he in now, knowing that he works for this team?
Yeah.
He's also got to, you know, earn the respect of these players. That's a terrible spot for a manager.
I don't think it's as bad as you think, because I think what they've been able to do is create an us against him type of scenario. Yeah. And when I mean him, I mean Kevin Mather, right? I mean, there has been, like, no support for Kevin Mather emanating from the organization, whether on social media, you know, through statements, through any leaked conversations. It was almost like everybody was happy to see the guy go. And I did not have, you know, the greatest relationship with Kevin. I just didn't know him that well. You know, we talk and say hello and we're friendly and all that stuff. But I just am a little bit taken aback by how little support there was for him when this whole thing went down. You know, there's no, hey, Kevin's a good guy, he made a mistake, or, you know, whatever. There's none of that stuff. So I think that Jerry DePoto and Scott Service have an opportunity here, especially with the young guys like Kelenic and Julio Rodriguez, to basically go to those guys and say, hey, the hell with them. Screw them, right? This guy's out. It's like in Major League with Lou Brown, you know, going after the owner. I mean, hell, what they should do is get a freaking cardboard cutout of a naked Kevin Mather. Every time they win a game, they get to peel off a piece.
My kind of team, Charlie.
100%.
My kind of team.
We are talking.
I'm on the phone with a guy about some white walls. I'll talk to you later. No, I mean, honestly, so I think they have basically said, you know, just, you know, screw him. You know, he's out. He was a jerk. He was insensitive. He didn't understand the culture of what we're trying to do. Kevin Mather really was not a baseball guy. He was more of a business guy. He came from the hockey world before he came to Seattle. So I honestly think it's going to be pretty easy for Scott Service and Jerry DePoto to move on from this. And actually, in some weird, freaky way, this may actually benefit a guy like Jared Kelenic. You guys know Kelenic was the prime piece they got in the Robinson Cano deal when they unloaded his contract a couple years ago to the Mets. And he probably, honestly, should not be in the majors yet. He's only played like 25 games at AA and obviously did not have a minor league system a year ago because of the pandemic. So really, in reality, from just a baseball perspective, Kelenic probably isn't even ready to come up and join the club. Maybe at some point in time later in the year, but certainly not the opening day roster. I'm wondering now if Jared Kelenic is going to benefit and get fast-tracked to the major leagues because of what Kevin Mather said about holding him back.
Absolutely. We are talking to the great Dave Softy Mahler, afternoon host at 950 KJR in Seattle. And Softy, you know, that's one kind of leftover remnant. Like, them moving Kelenic up early is a potential remnant from all of this thing going down. But what's going to happen when they start to negotiate the new collective bargaining agreement? And guys like Josh Donaldson are like, hello, we have it on video. We know you guys are doing this. We know they're not the only one. I mean, it's the ripple effect that this is going to last a year or two.
Well, first of all, we know they've been doing it. They've been doing it for years. I mean, you don't need Mather's comments to show that teams purposely hold players back to accumulate, you know, a better service time situation for the franchise. I mean, the Cubs did it with Chris Bryant, like, what, 5 years ago, whatever it was? I mean, and they were honest about it. They said, look, he's not coming up until, you know, the calendar year kicks in. So I think what's probably going to happen is when they have the next negotiations, guys like Scott Boras will step in, and he'll flex his muscles, obviously. The players will step in, and they'll probably try and renegotiate a new calendar. I mean, I just think the fundamental idea that an employer purposely tries to limit how much money somebody can make, that doesn't sit well with me, and it shouldn't sit well with anybody. And if the best players are being held back, as Boras said, I'm not generally a big Boras guy, but if he's right that the best players are being held back because it doesn't financially benefit the big club, then that's a problem. That's a problem for everybody, including people that pay money to buy tickets.
Softy, I think it's a shorter list of which NFL quarterbacks are happy right now as opposed to the ones that are dissatisfied. Yeah. But what's exactly the gripe of Russell Wilson right now, and what are the Seahawks going to do, if anything, about it?
Yeah, I'm not very happy with Russell Wilson right now, to be totally honest with you. And you know what? Listen, obviously I love Russell Wilson, but right now it's kind of a love-hate relationship. Hate might be too strong a word, but, you know, all of us always say we're hurt the most by the ones we love, you know, whatever the hell that saying is. You guys got kids, you got wives, and you love them all, but sometimes they drive you freaking crazy, right?
Yep.
And right now Russell Wilson is driving a lot of Seahawks fans crazy. I mean, here's the thing, man. The guy comes out and has probably the worst 9-game stretch of his career. Pro Football Focus actually rated him as in the bottom half of quarterbacks in the second half of the NFL season. He was terrible in the second half. He was terrible in the playoff game. And then he picks that time to come out and bitch and moan about the offensive line. I'm tired of getting hit, yada, yada, yada. Then he's on the cover of GQ with Sierra. Then he's going on Ellen's show selling perfume. It just seems like it was kind of a tone-deaf time to come out and complain about all this stuff. I got people that I play with, you know, golf with, that refer to this guy as Hollywood, you know, Hollywood Wilson, because of all the extracurricular stuff. He's got a podcast going on during the year, which all that stuff is fine and dandy when you win games, right? All that stuff is fine when you play well, but when you don't play well and you start blaming other people and you don't take the lion's share of responsibility, and here you are kind of goofing around doing things that have nothing to do with football. I'm not saying the guy can't have a life outside of football, and I'm not saying the guy can't go out and work on his brand. He can do whatever the damn well, you know, hell he pleases to do. But fans can also react the way they want. And when fans see that, when they see a guy that's gallivanting across the country, jumping on talk shows, you know, hawking freaking cologne, you know, going on magazines and, you know selling the guy literally has like a cooking apparel line, Let Russ Cook, where he sells aprons and chef hats and crap like that. And then he goes out and bitches about the offensive line when, look, man, a lot of those sacks he's taken are on him, 25%. Because he's a running quarterback. Naturally, he's not going to take, you know, he's not going to get rid of the ball as fast as, pocket passers are, potted plants, because the guy tries to run out of pressure, and I get that. But it just seemed like a real peculiar time to come out and complain about stuff when he's making $35 million. He was complaining about not having enough stars, so they went out and got Jamal Adams and drafted DK Metcalf. And if he wants better protection, is he willing to take a pay cut? Is he willing to give up, you know, some of that salary to go out and get a better offensive line? You know, I saw a story that Tom Brady in his career has probably denied himself $60 million in salary to make sure the Patriots win football games. And I get that he's married to Giselle and she's got a ton of money, all that stuff. But what do you want? Do you want the great offensive line, or do you want the $35 million a year in salary? Do you want the stars like Jamal, or do you want the draft picks to go after a better offensive line? So it's kind of a robbing Peter to pay Paul situation. I thought it was a pretty poor time for Russell to start complaining about stuff when he's making a ton of money and he hasn't played well. I would have loved for Russell Wilson to say, look, we got to do a better job of avoiding sacks, and that starts with me. This team has to play better, and that starts with me. And just take, simply put, 100% personal responsibility, even if it's not his fault. And he used to be like that. That's the weird thing. Like, what happened? Why this shift, man? Is Sierra getting to him? Is she more concerned about the brand than she is the player and the football team? Normally, I have a really uncomfortable time bringing up dudes' wives in conversations. I almost feel like it should be off limits. But when your wife is a public figure the way Sierra is, and she's a part of this branding of Russell Wilson, I think it's fair game. This is a guy who was talking about winning the MVP back in September. He would never have spoken like that in the last couple years. Never. He would have never come out and talked about how he's tired of getting hit, how the team needs more stars. And maybe all of this is part of the maturation process for Russell. He's been in the league now for 10 years, so he, you know, he should think he should have a voice for sure. But he's just kind of morphed into this different guy publicly and a more brazen guy with his comments than he has. And I just would, I'm very curious, guys, to know what's driving that for him.
See, now you say it's kind of annoying to come on, but then you go off like a nuclear weapon, maybe like you're enjoying this appearance, Softy. We certainly did. Appreciate it as always.
Don't let it fool you, man. I hate it every second of it. I'm going to have my breakfast now.
All right, go
enjoy.
For it. Dave Softy Mahler, afternoon host, set 950 KJR.
So good.
In Seattle. Just to wake up with those kind of hot fire takes, passion, and ability to just go like that. We're sports talk radio hosts approaching semi-professional level at this. We're still so far behind Softy's level when it comes to that particular brand of sports talk.
It really is. It's a slap in the face. You know, when you listen to Softy, it's a kick to the stomach. He brings the fire, man. He also does afternoons. I think we'd be better in the afternoon. I don't want to do afternoons, but
a little time to wake up.
Shake out the cobwebs a little bit. I mean, we come in here guns blazing sometimes. I was here this morning at 3 a.m. 3 a.m., not 4, 3. So at 7 o'clock, I'm going to be like falling asleep. But, you know, listen, the beauty of doing afternoon radio. But I wouldn't want to do afternoons. I like mornings.
Mornings are the place to be.
Place to be, dog.
Right here. Yeah. Right here.
Right here on 97.3
The home of the Padres.
That's right.
Getting ready for the most anticipated season in franchise history. Almost everyone is predicting great things from the Padres.
It's funny that you said... Almost.
Almost.
Ben just brought a story to my attention that has got me very creased this morning. And I actually said to Paul, text this guy and get him on the air today if we can. And let him know in the text, you had to know we'd be reaching out to you today, Bradford Doolittle.
I don't think he is, like, choosing to hate on the Padres.
His computer is broken.
Though, his system plugs in all the data. And unlike everyone else, it has the Padres, you know, number two in their power rankings, top three in baseball. His does not forecast quite such success for the Padres this season. We can discuss that moving forward. There are counter opinions out there. I'm wondering what it is, though, that really doesn't like the Padres as much about his system. Where does his system emphasize that the Padres seem to be lacking a little bit? Because when I look at the roster, Woods... looks pretty complete to me. You know, any team can be subject to bad luck or, you know, health issues.
Sure.
But right now...
to project that now...
looks very deep, very complete.
I could end up going full softy on him today. Bradford, this is terrible. Your computer's broken. It's garbage.
Might need to do a little program rewrite at some point. All right, we are 1 hour in. We'll get to the Rindle Report, check on some basketball, some Angels, some Catholic school. All coming up next. Ben Woods, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.